ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Narada Muni said to Maharaj Yudhisthira, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu wanted to be unconquerable and free from old age and dwindling of the body. He wanted to gain all the mystic yogic perfections like anima and laghima, to be deathless and to be the only king of the entire universe, including Brahma Loka. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Such are the goals of the austerities performed by demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma, so that in the future he would be able to conquer Lord Brahma's abode. Similarly, another demon received a benediction from Lord Shiva, but later wanted to kill Lord Shiva through that same benediction. Thus, self-interested persons, by demoniac austerity, want to kill even their benedictors, whereas the Vaishnav wants to remain an ever-existing servant of the Lord, and never to occupy the post of the Lord. Through Sayujya Mukti, which is generally demanded by asuras, one merges into the existence of the Lord. But although one sometimes thus achieves the goal of the theory of monism, one falls down again to struggle in material existence. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, entitled Hiranyakashipu Plan to Become Immortal. Text number one. I'm very grateful to be amongst you once again at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra in New Vrindavan. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures, because it deals exclusively with the essence of the perfection of life, which is unmotivated, unconditional, uninterrupted devotional service to the Lord. In this particular segment of Bhagavatam, we see the contrast between the worship of Hiranyakashipu and the worship of Maharaj Prahlad. In this particular chapter, Hiranyakashipu is going to perform very, very severe austerities based on the Vedic teachings. It's not just speculation. He's going to worship Lord Brahma. And his worship of Lord Brahma is he is going to perform the yogic system with such intensity. Please understand, he's just not making up a process. He's taking the yogic principles, He's taking Vedic knowledge and he's worshiping Lord Brahma, who is the father of all living beings within this particular universe. But what is the nature of this worship? It is declared here to be demoniac because the purpose of the worship is to please Brahma, to get benedictions for his own egoistic purposes. He's so egoistic. He has such grand scale aspirations that not only does he want to get all powers, long life, and undefeatable benedictions from Brahma, but he wants to use it to conquer Brahma himself. We'll find he performs such severe austerities that literally yogic fire is just emitting from his head and heating up the universe. In a hill of ants, his flesh is dried up, his blood is dried up, all that's left is his bones. But by the prowess of his yogic advancement, he's able to keep his life airs flowing through that skeleton. And ultimately Brahma comes and gives him again a strong body with celestial water. And Hiranyakashipu, according to the same principle that we respect an honorable person, he folds his hands, he offers his dandavat pranams, and he offers prayers. Same thing we do, is it not? When we come before Prabhupada's Vyasasana, or before the deity of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Prahlad Maharaj wanted nothing but eternal service to the Lord. Hiranyakashipu wanted the position of the Lord. Both worshipping, both following apparent religious principles. Krishna is Bhavagrahi. The Supreme Lord, who is the super soul within the heart of every living being, simply examines what is our motivation, what is our purpose. Prabhupada gives reference to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of Vritrasura. Vrikasura. Vrikasura, he worshipped Lord Shiva by chanting all the prescribed mantras, by doing all the prescribed rituals. To such extremities, he was ready to sacrifice his life for Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared before him. And he asked for a benediction. And the first thing he did, he tried to use that benediction to kill Lord Shiva. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that for a devotee, the ends and the means are the same. We serve Krishna, and our only motivation is eternal service to Krishna. We never want to become one with the Lord. Devotees do not care for mystic powers because Krishna is Yogeshwar. He is the master of all mystics. A devotee is satisfied simply glorifying the mystic potencies of the Lord. That is our jubilation. Not that we have to perform those miracles ourselves and be glorified by foolish people of this world. Devotees may scrutinizingly study the scriptures for the purpose of humbly serving the Lord by repeating his message. But a devotee's satisfaction is in glorifying Krishna as the knower of everything, past, present, and future, the author of all Vedas. It's not that we want to be glorified as being learned. That's Krishna's position. He's learned. He's the knowledge. He's the ability in man. He's the intelligence of the intelligence. He's the strength of the strong. This is the natural condition of the soul to be in bhakti. Bhakti means to find our satisfaction in Krishna's graceness. No competition. As long as we find satisfaction in our own greatness, we will be frustrated. Because there's always something or someone greater, and whatever our greatness is, it is temporary. Hiranyakashipu, what was the greatness he achieved? The demigods were his obedient servants. Even Narada Muni would carry out his instructions and offer his obeisances to him. He had all the demigods and all the great sages, including Narada himself, come before him and bow down while he sat on the throne of the universe, Indra's. Yes? He was very learned, powerful, prestigious, healthy, never got sick. But was he happy? Absolutely not. Because there's no happiness in acquiring anything for ourselves. Why? Because nothing is ours. It's all artificial, superficial, and illusory. The only true happiness of the heart, of the soul, is loving Krishna. And that love has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted. That means our happiness is Krishna's happiness. We don't have to conquer others. We're happy hearing about how Krishna conquers others. Yes? We don't have to have boyfriends and girlfriends. We're happy just knowing, just hearing about Krishna's wonderful pastimes with his girlfriends. We don't need wealth. We see great Babajis and sadhus throughout history. They're living in the most primitive conditions, but they're experiencing ecstatic joy hearing about Krishna's palaces in Dwarka. Krishna being the all-opulent enjoyer of all enjoyers. That is bhakti. Nothing for me, everything for Krishna. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is about. And this chapter is so very, very important because the ideal demon is portrayed in contrast to the ideal devotee. The very basis of demoniac mentality, that I want to be the controller, I want to be the proprietor, I want to be the enjoyer, is in opposition to Prahlad Maharaj. Wants nothing. He's thanking Krishna while he's being thrown into a pit of snakes. Thank you, Krishna. I'm yours. He's thanking Krishna when he's being blasphemed. He's thanking Krishna when he's being thrown into the bottom of a sea and mountains put on top of him. Hare Krishna. He's grateful. He doesn't want anything. I'm your servant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed in this way, Krishna, you can protect me, you can kill me. You have a right to do anything you like with me. Because I am your servant unconditionally. I just want to serve, just want to please. That was Prahlad's consciousness. He was so fearless because he had no attachments. This fear is such a problem in this world. Who is not fearful? People work because they're afraid of poverty. People have social interactions because they're afraid of loneliness. Nations are building, people have houses because they're afraid of the cold. They put all sorts of security devices because they're afraid of being robbed. When we get in our automobile, we put our safety belt on because we're afraid of crashing and dying. If you really examine very scrutinizingly, almost everything everyone does is to some extent motivated by fear. We're afraid of being sick. We're afraid of being defamed. We're afraid of losing our income. We're afraid of being disrespected. We're afraid of death. But all fear is due to attachment. How is it that Prahlad was fearless? Because he had no attachments. And what does it mean to have no attachments? That means to give up the false illusion that I am the enjoyer. As long as you think that I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer, or I am the controller, then fear will always be controlling your life. It has to. Hiranyakashipu was very fearful. Even though he had such power, no one could stand before him. He was so fearful. He was afraid of little five-year-old Prahlad because he couldn't control him. He was afraid of him. And ultimately, he knew that God is death personified. He was always afraid of Vishnu. There's no material arrangement to overcome fear. There is no material arrangement. As long as we have attachments. But what does it really mean to be detached? It doesn't mean to roam through the forests of West Virginia without clothes on, eating the leaves from the trees. Detachment means without the spirit that I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, I am the controller. Real detachment simply means everything belongs to Krishna. Glorification belongs to Krishna. Prabhupada explained, when you learn to take pleasure in decorating the deity, you don't have to decorate yourself because you're happy. Otherwise, people are very, very eager to look very nice. But devotees are happy seeing Radharani and Vrindavan Chandra look very nice. We don't need to eat all luxurious foods if we take pleasure in seeing Krishna eating very nicely. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made big feast for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He brought Lord Chaitanya in. He said, this was all offered to Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya saw it and he was in ecstasy that Jagannath is eating so nice. He said, now just give me some boiled rice, that's all. He said, no, this is for you. He said, I'm happy seeing that Jagannath is eating so nice. This is devotee. We can calculate our advancement by how much we're actually finding pleasure by seeing Krishna enjoy. And we can only take pleasure in seeing Krishna enjoying to the degree that we're not aspiring to enjoy independently, and vice versa. So this is a beautiful story of Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad, in the most difficult, impossible, excruciating circumstances in life, was peaceful and happy. And Hiranyakashipu, in the most opulent, prestigious, and powerful position in life, was always fearful and frustrated. So what do we want? Hiranyakashipu represents materialistic civilization. And Prahlad Maharaj represents devotional service, the spiritual world. And we always have this choice. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Kicks out all sub-religious principles. The impersonalist conception. People even chant the names of the Lord. Sometimes 10, 15 hours a day they're chanting kirtan, they're chanting bhajan. But what is their goal? To become God. Is their chanting pleasing Krishna? No. There are many people who are chanting kirtan, becoming famous. And in India, there's so many kirtan singers. But many of them, that is their goal. That the holy name is a transcendental vibration that will free you from material dualities, cleanse your heart, and ultimately by chanting the holy name, you become God. You enter eternally into the impersonalistic existence of the Supreme. But a devotee discards bhakti and mukti. A devotee doesn't want sense gratification and doesn't even want liberation. A devotee simply wants to serve eternally. That is love. When we chant the holy name in that spirit, we're actually chanting with the intention of love, not the intention of attainment of the position of the Lord. And Krishna is only pleased by love, by devotion, or by the intention to achieve that devotion. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyas, he wrote, or he, let us say, he compiled Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda. He compiled Upanishads, 108 principal Upanishads, and others as well. Then he compiled the Puranas, the Itihastas, the Mahabharata, over 100,000 verses. And then he summarized everything as the Vedanta Sutra. And he did it all for one reason only, to give direction to humanity out of compassion. There's no author that will ever live that can compare it to Vyasadeva. He was literary incarnation of God, Shakti Vesha Avatar. But he wasn't happy. In Badrikashram, sitting on the river Saraswati's holy bank, he was feeling an emptiness and dissatisfaction within his heart. Why? He didn't even understand. Then his Gurudev, Narada Muni, came to reveal the truth to him. You have given so much. And the essence is there within everything you gave. But there's so many distractions. Artha kama dhamma moksha. Yes, you are teaching. People can do these particular types of religious or yogic principles. And they can get economic development. They can become pious and religious. They can even get liberation. They can get sense gratification. But you have not written a scripture which exclusively proclaims the ultimate and only real goal of life. Prema Pumartaman, pure love of God. You have not described a scripture just dealing only with devotional service, the only perfection. You have not described the beautiful pastimes of Krishna and his devotees in this spirit. Thus, the ripened fruit on the desire tree of all Vedic literatures is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedic Vyas found his ultimate satisfaction in this scripture alone. And in this age, it is described in the Bhagavat itself that after Krishna went to his abode, he descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, in our sampradaya, whoever is speaking the truth is considered to be representative of Vyasadeva. The seat where the Bhagavat or the truth is spoken from is called the Vyasasan, the seat of Vyas. It's not this asan, it's not the Gauranga Kishore asan. It's the Vyasasan. What does that mean? It's Vyasa's seat. If you're sitting on Vyasa's seat, you can only repeat the words of Vyas. You have no right to speak your own opinion. Otherwise, you make your own seat. But Vyasasan is this. We're simply instruments to repeat the divine message of Vyasadeva. In the age of Kali, Krishna appears in the most munificent, magnanimous, merciful of all incarnations, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just as Krishna's Leela is spoken for the ultimate welfare of humanity by Vyasadeva, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela was spoken by Vyasadeva himself in the form of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, whose disappearance day it is today. With your permission, Barsana Maharaj, Narada Muni Prabhu, Kripa Maya Prabhu, and others, I will speak something on Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. We can begin. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while living in Navadvip, did not disclose his true identity or his real mission openly. Rather, he appeared as the Nimai Pandit, great, great scholar, who would harass devotees. Actually, his harassing of devotees was to increase their love for him only, which he did. He was such a scholar, but he always kept his dialogue on the academic platform. And therefore the devotees were praying. They were having Nam Sankirtan and petitioning Lord Krishna, please make Nimai a devotee. He's so beautiful. He has such all attractive qualities. He's so learned. Everything about him melts our hearts. If he becomes a devotee, he can induce the whole world to take to the Sankirtan of the holy names. This was their prayer. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, he wanted to teach the world that without serving a pure Vaishnav, without taking initiation in a proper parampara, the fruit of love of Krishna is impossible to achieve. So he accepted initiation and rendered loving service to Ishwar Puri, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And getting the name from Ishwara Puri, ecstatic love awakened in his heart in such a way that the world had never seen. When he returned to Navadvip, he was no longer concerned with any other subject except Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's teachings, and Krishna's names. When the devotees saw him with profuse tears flowing from his eyes, with a choked voice crying, "Where is Krishna?" they understood that all their prayers had been fulfilled. Nimai was a Vaishnava. And they had never seen such ecstatic love ever before. But he did not reveal to any of them that he was Krishna himself. They considered him to be devotee. And now he was so humble. He wanted to teach the world that the supreme form of religion is to serve the Vaishnavas. There is no worship superior to that. Because there's nothing that pleases Krishna more than that. So Lord Chaitanya, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, he would very respectfully carry things for the devotees. He would wash their clothes. He would do all menial services for the devotees. He would touch their feet and put the dust on their head. And the devotees would hold his hand and try to stop him from doing these menial services. But he would do it anyway. And they would bless him. Because he was younger than most of the devotees, they would offer benedictions and blessings to him. For so many long years, we were being afflicted by the atheism and materialism of this world. The people of Navadvip are so materialistic, so egoistic, that they recite the scriptures, but never, ever will they speak anything about devotional service. They will study and spend all day explaining scriptures, but there will be nothing about Krishna, nothing about his pastimes, nothing about the goal of life. Simply infatuated in illusion. And they treat us, because we're devotees, they treat us like we're the dirt on the ground. They trample us like grass. They insult us, they blaspheme us, they misuse us. Why? Because we're devotees. And they accuse us of so many horrible things. It has brought such sorrow to our heart. But now that you are a devotee, we understand that Krishna is showing his mercy to us. Nimai has become a devotee. Nimai is chanting the holy names. He is tasting that nectar. We offer you this benediction. That induce the whole world to chant the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya would bow down and touch the dust of their feet and put it on his head, and he would say, I am sure that whatever you desire, Krishna will fulfill, because you are his devotees. But still, they could not understand he was the Lord. Until one day, this is important. On this day, the king sent two boats of soldiers to Navadvip. And people were discussing what was the reason. And the so-called scholars, materialistic people, they were very, very much disturbed. They said, because Srivas Thakur is having these loud kirtans, and actually they were very much against Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya was always doing kirtan, day and night practically, loud kirtan. But they especially focused on blaming Srivas, because he was doing it for years. That because Srivas and these crazy devotees are chanting so loud, which is against the law, because at that time he was an Islamic state. So the king has sent his soldiers to plunder them, to punish them. And one person said, but Srivas is going to hide. And if they don't find him, then the king and his soldiers are going to capture us and torture us because of him. I told you, we should have thrown his whole house in the Ganges. We should tie him up and bring him before the king. And actually, the boats were approaching. But the devotees didn't care that we are chanting Krishna's name. Whatever Krishna wants to do to us, we will accept. Let us just carry on with this chanting. But Srivas Thakur was very much concerned with the devotees. He was very much concerned with the safety and the welfare of the Vaishnavas. So he went into his deity room, closed the door, and was worshipping Lord Narasimhadev. That morning, Nimai was walking along the bank of the Ganges. And some of these materialistic people saw him. They were speaking in such a way that Nimai could hear. Look at him. He's walking around so fearlessly. Actually, how could he be so fearless? The king's soldiers are in a boat coming to punish them. Somebody else said, oh, he's not actually fearless. He's just pretending to be this way because he has a plot to escape and then will be punished. So Lord Chaitanya disregarded them and saw the beauty of Ganga Mayi flowing. And on the banks of the Ganges, he saw a herd of cows. Some of the young cows were jumping up and down and playing with each other. Other cows were butting each other's with their heads. Other cows were running with their tails raised. And some of the cows were just sitting and chewing the grass very peacefully. And seeing these cows awakened within Lord Chaitanya's heart, his identity as Krishna, he became completely oblivious to external circumstances, and he cried out, I am he! I am he! And he ran right to the house of Srivas Thakur, and with his foot started kicking the door of his deity room. I am him! I am him! He that you are worshipping has now come to stand before you. And Srivas was very much surprised. He opened the door, and what did he see? He saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealing his eternal divine opulence, his eternal form of the spiritual world. Srivats Thakur offered his prostrated obeisances. It was the first time Lord Chaitanya revealed to his devotees that he was Krishna himself. Srivats Thakur was weeping, he was crying, he was trembling, he was rolling in the ground. He got up with folded hands and offered beautiful prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The same prayers that Lord Brahma offered Krishna when he realized his supreme position. Because Brahma too was thinking Krishna is just an ordinary boy. But when he realized that he was the supreme lord of all lords, he offered prayers. Similarly, Srivas, who was about the age of Lord Chaitanya's father, he saw him grow up as a little boy and a student, but now he was recognizing that he's Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, whose hair is decorated with peacock feathers, whose neck is decorated with the gunjamala, who plays his flute, who has a beautiful form that is like a monsoon rain cloud in color, who is the Lord of the Gopis. Srivas Thakur surrendered his life, his soul, everything to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srivas, bring your family members and your relatives and your friends and even your servants and maidservants, bring them all. And they all came before Lord Chaitanya and they all saw this opulent form of the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya placed his feet on everyone's head. And all of them achieved the perfection of love of God. They were all weeping in ecstasy. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Srivas. He said, give up your fear. If this king comes on his boats, he has no power to do anything against you or the devotees. Give up your fear. Because I am the super soul in every living being's heart. And no one can do anything unless I sanction it. But if the king acts independently and comes to do something anyway, then I will be waiting on the shore and I will be the first one to meet him. I will get on his boat and I will reveal my supreme opulences. And the king will have to come off of his throne to worship me. But if due to his independence, he does not accept that, then I will tell the king that you bring together all your religious leaders and ministers and get all your wild animals and all of your domestic animals. Bring them all together and have them. Have your qazis read from the scriptures and make these animals cry in ecstatic love of God. And he will try it. The animals will be brought forward. The qazis and the ministers will chant the scriptures. But nothing will happen. And then I will tell the king that you now see what is my powers. And I will go into the jungle and grab an elephant and bring him here. And then I will take all the king's elephants and all of his horses and I will get all the birds and all the other animals and I will chant the holy names of Krishna and all of these animals will be chanting the names of Krishna, rolling on the ground in ecstasy, weeping tears of love. And then the ministers and the qazis will fall to the ground, rolling, weeping tears of love. And then the king himself will fall to the ground, rolling in the ground, weeping tears of love. This is my potency. Do you believe me, Srivas? Just watch, and I will show you. Srivas's niece, who was only 4 years old. Her name was Narayani. She was just sitting peacefully in a corner of the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried out, "Narayani, chant Krishna's name and cry in ecstatic love." And little Narayani called out, "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna." And tears just erupted from her eyes profusely, soaking her body. Her limbs trembled and she fell to the ground, just crying out, "Oh Krishna." When the devotees saw that, they understood the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave the ultimate perfection of prema bhakti to a 4-year-old girl by just chanting the name of Krishna. And then Srivas Thakur, he got up, he raised his arms and started dancing. And he said, "My Lord, I give up all fear. Even when you come as the supreme destroyer of the entire universe, and as time personified, I see that you are destroying all the 14 worlds. I will raise my arms fearlessly and chant your holy names." And then Srivas Thakur, with all of his servants, maidservants, friends, and relatives, saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifest his Vaikuntha form. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in this connection, just see the power of a Vaishnav. Anyone who serves a Vaishnav, anyone who pleases a Vaishnav becomes so dear to the Lord. Even the servants and maidservants of Srivas attained the ultimate perfection of seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha before their eyes. This is something that even Brahma, Shiva, and the greatest yogis cannot see. There is no higher religious principle than becoming dear to the Vaishnavas. So this Narayani is the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. It is said that Srivas Thakur's elder brother, Sri Nalina Pandit, and his wife gave birth to Narayani. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly give her the remnants of his food. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would personally, with his own hand, feed this little girl the food that he had eaten. And therefore, little Narayani became famous throughout the entire Vaishnav society as she who receives the remnants of Lord Chaitanya. When she was young, she was married to a great Brahmin who came from Srihatta or Sailate. His name was Vaikunthanath. She became pregnant. While she was carrying her child, her husband passed away. She was a widow. And the child was born. That illustrious child is Vrindavan Das Thakur. Some say he was born in Mamgachi, some say he was born in Kumarahatta. Narayani, who was only about 15 years old at the time, she was a young girl and a widow. But in Mamgachi, she was given shelter by the most compassionate devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vasudev Dutt. She would take care of Vasudev Dutt, help him with his deity worship, and perform so many nice chores for him. And Vasudev Dutt protected and cared for Narayani and especially helped to raise little Vrindavan Das. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was in that environment of Srivas Thakur, of Vasudev Dutt, and all the Vaishnavas. This was the association he was raised in. And it is said that he was the last disciple who was initiated by Nityananda Prabhu. Personal associate of Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered his disciple Vrindavan Das Thakur to write the life story of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he took that order as his very life and soul. According to historians, Vaishnavas, Vrindavan Das Thakur took birth I believe it was about 4 years after Lord Chaitanya had already taken sannyas. And as a young man, taking the order of Lord Nityananda Prabhu on his head, he went to a place called Denur. Denur is not very far from Katwa, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And there he made his Sripat, or his Bhajan Kutir, his home. And it was there in Denur that Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. The importance of this literature is so great. Originally, it was called Chaitanya Mangal. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he explains how there was a priest in the temple of Govindaji. And this particular priest, he did not have the slightest inclination to find any faults in him, in anyone. He would only see people's good qualities. And because he had this disposition of offering all respect to others and never ever wanting to hear any gossip, never ever ever want to hear any fault in anyone, this particular devotee, he could recite Sri Chaitanya Mangal with so much enthusiasm, with so much devotion, and with so much love. He just enchanted the entire assembly of Vaishnavas. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how this is the association that he was listening to the Sri Chaitanya Mangal. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he concentrated on the early pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he was so much intoxicated with the mercy of Lord Nityananda that he went into great depths of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes as well. However, to keep from the book becoming too large, he did not speak very much about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya after he had taken sannyas. He summarized. So the devotees in Vrindavan, they appealed to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami to explain what he had heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami on that particular subject of the final pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those pastimes that Vrindavan Das Thakur either summarized or did not go into detail. And on the order of the Vaishnavas, with the blessings of Madan Mohan, Kaviraj Goswami has given us Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is glorifying and offering his eternal gratitude to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. In one beautiful verse, he tells that Vrindavan Das Thakur is the Vedavyas of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Just as Vedavyas has given us Krishna's Leela in Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly, Vedavyas has come again to give us Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Chaitanya Mangal. And because he was Vyasadeva's identifying in this way, the Vaishnavas gave the name of Chaitanya Mangal Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is the Bhagavat of Mahaprabhu's Leela. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami continues. He says that he did not write this book. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly spoke through Vrindavan Das Thakur to reveal the world, his pastimes and teachings. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells the world that I offer my tens of millions of obeisances at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Because he is the person who has compiled this Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which has the power to deliver the entire universe. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he advised his followers that they should read Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat 100 times through. Hare Krishna. And he himself wrote an elaborate commentary on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is the mercy of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Narayani, who was blessed with the remnants of the Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur later on became very, very dear to Janava Devi, Nityananda Prabhu's consort. He was one of the most respected guests that accompanied Janava Devi to Keturi Gram for the first Gaur Purnima Mahotsava. So on this day, following in the footsteps of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, let us offer our tens of millions of obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. By the love that has flowed through his heart has revealed the greatest treasure in our lives. By Nityananda Prabhu's order, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. By Nityananda Prabhu's order, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to Vrindavan to hear and ultimately to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even today in Mamgachi is the original deities of Nitai Gora Chandra worshipped by Vrindavan Das Thakur. His life and soul. And another nice thing is the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust of ISKCON has renovated Vrindavan Das Thakur's house in Denur, the exact place where he wrote Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Otherwise it was dilapidated. Prabhupada's influence is affecting so much of the world of Vaishnavism. So today, let us offer our respectful obeisances with grateful hearts. And let us not only honor and worship Vrindavan Das Thakur by our prayers, by our pranams, but the real worship is by following in his footsteps, by living by his teachings. And if there was one thing that is supremely manifested in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is the importance of worshipping, honoring, and serving the Vaishnavas as the only means of approaching the heart of Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Arsana Maharaj, would you like to speak something, please?
Purified, exalted devotees, and rectified whatever difficulties inspired their authorities to send them there in the first place. The external reason for the very edifying, uplifting effects of the village of Mamgachi is that it's a very simple pastoral setting. You know, a village of cowherd people and agriculturists. Very simple. Plain living and high thinking. But the esoteric understanding for the redemptive effects of that village is that Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is known as the last disciple of Lord Nityananda, and disciple being something like a son, a child of the Guru. So Vrindavan Das Thakur being like the child, the youngest child, and the youngest child always has a special place of affection in the hearts of the parents. So in a similar way, Vrindavan Das Thakur having such a place of affection in the heart of Lord Nityananda, anything related to a Vaishnav, anything dear to a Vaishnav, has such edifying effects that the village of Mamgachi became famous as the Gaudiya Math jail. Because any devotees who were having difficulty in any temple of the Gaudiya Math were sent there and just became rectified of any difficulties which caused the initial problems in the other temples because of the extremely uplifting, purifying effects of the village where Vrindavan Das Thakur took his birth. And that same theme is, you know, reminiscent of the glorification of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who proclaims that the pastimes of Sri Krishna are broadcast through the holy Bhagavat. But Vyasadeva in Gaurlila is Sri Vrindavan Das. So beautifully, eloquently, and perfectly he has presented, revealed the pastimes of Gauranga and Nitai, through which he explains what Krishna Bhakti is and how it is and why. So perfectly he has explained revealed the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, because Lord Nityananda has spoken through the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And therefore, he offers his obeisances, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, thousands and thousands of times to that simple rural pastoral scene of Mamgachi, because that is the place where Vrindavan Das Thakur lived. And because his glorification of Krishna Bhakti, as revealed through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nitai, is so very sweet, I offer my obeisances millions of times to his lotus feet. So, this reputation, this glorification of Mamgachi is a demonstration that not only is the Vaishnava himself purifying and edifying in their effects upon others, upon the world, but even all things related to a Vaishnava, all things dear to a Vaishnava, even the most useless, apparently externally useless things in regards to a Vaishnava, such as the dust at their lotus feet, the water which is washed at lotus feet, and their remnants, has that same purifying effect just because of its relationship to the Vaishnavas. So, the inmates of New Vrindavan have a special appreciation for Mamgachi, the Gaudiya Math jail, in which the devotees sent from the rest of the temples of Gaudiya Math would become redeemed externally by the plain living, high thinking characteristic of that simple cowherd village, but on a deeper level because of the appearance, the presence, the will of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Whereas in our case, the purifying, edifying effects of New Vrindavan is due to the representative of Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada, whose time, whose presence, whose prayers, whose mercy, whose compassion has actually created a holy place of pilgrimage in the Western world. So, thank you.